From IntelliJix, this is IntelliJix World Religions, an educational look at the world's religions. This show neither endorses nor rejects any belief. Today, we are stepping into one of the oldest continuously practiced religious traditions in human history, a tradition that has shaped the moral imagination of billions of people across the world, directly or indirectly, and that continues to evolve, debate, and renew itself in the 21st century. By the end of this episode, you will have a richer understanding of where Judaism came from, what its adherents believe, and why, what it looks and feels and sounds like in practice, how extraordinarily diverse it is internally, and why scholars find it endlessly fascinating as both a religious phenomenon and a historical one. We are talking about Judaism, a tradition built on covenant, on law, on memory, and on the stubborn, resilient insistence that the relationship between a people and the divine is always unfinished, always being negotiated, always alive. Let's begin at the beginning, or rather, at several possible beginnings, because the origins of Judaism are genuinely contested terrain, and any honest account has to sit with that complexity. The tradition's own narrative of origins centers on a figure named Abram, later renamed Abraham, a man described in the Hebrew Bible as living somewhere in the ancient Near East, possibly in the region of Mesopotamia, who receives a call from a god who identifies himself as the one true God. This god, known in the tradition by several names, but most reverentially as Yahweh, a name so sacred that many Jewish communities do not pronounce it directly, substituting Adonai, meaning Lord, or Hashem, meaning simply the name, this god makes a covenant with Abraham. A covenant is not merely a contract. In the ancient Near Eastern context, a covenant was a binding, solemn, world-ordering relationship. This particular covenant carries enormous freight. Abraham and his descendants are promised a land, a nation, and a relationship with the divine that will set them apart and, in some interpretations, make them a vehicle of blessing for all humanity. The sign of this covenant, according to the text, is circumcision, a physical mark carried in the body of every male descendant. From Abraham, the narrative passes to his son Isaac, then to Isaac's son Jacob, who is also given the name Israel after a famous nighttime wrestling match with a divine or angelic figure, a story that Jewish commentators have meditated on for centuries as a metaphor for the tradition's own relationship with the sacred, wrestling, struggling, refusing to let go until a blessing is given. Jacob's 12 sons become the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then comes Egypt. Jacob's family migrates to Egypt during a famine, and over generations, according to the narrative, the descendants of Israel become enslaved. Enter Moses, perhaps the most pivotal figure in the Jewish religious imagination. Not a king, not a warrior in the conventional sense, but a prophet, a mediator, the man through whom God speaks the law. The story of the Exodus. The liberation of the Israelites from Egypt under Moses, the crossing of the sea, the wandering in the wilderness, is the foundational myth in the deepest sense of that word, the story that gives the entire tradition its emotional and moral core. And at Mount Sinai, somewhere in that wilderness, Moses receives the Torah, the law, from God. This moment, which the tradition calls the revelation at Sinai, is understood by religious Jews as the definitive event of human history, the moment at which God's will was most directly communicated to humanity. Now, here is where historical scholarship and traditional religious narrative begin to diverge, and it is important to understand both honestly. Scholars who study the ancient Near East using archaeology, textual criticism, linguistics, and comparative religion hold that the actual historical origins of what became Judaism are considerably more complex and gradual than the biblical narrative suggests. The academic consensus, arrived at over more than a century of careful work, is that the Israelite religion emerged in the highlands of ancient Canaan roughly in the Iron Age, around the 12th to 10th centuries BCE, and that it developed out of and gradually distinguished itself from the broader Canaanite religious culture of that region. The early Israelites, many scholars argue, were not straightforwardly monotheistic from the beginning. The biblical texts themselves contain traces of what scholars call henotheism, the worship of one God as supreme while not necessarily denying the existence of others, before a more thoroughgoing monotheism solidified, particularly during and after the period of the Babylonian exile in the 6th century BCE. That exile is crucial. In 586 BCE, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the first temple. The central sanctuary that the tradition holds was built by Solomon, and deported a significant portion of the Judean elite to Babylon. This catastrophe forced a profound religious rethinking. Without a temple, without a land, how does a people maintain its relationship with God? The answer, scholars broadly agree, was the intensification of textual religion, the study, preservation, and interpretation of sacred writings. It is in and around this period that many scholars believe the core of what we know as the Hebrew Bible was compiled and edited into something approaching its current form. The Hebrew Bible, known in Jewish tradition as the Tanakh, an acronym drawn from its three parts, is the foundational sacred text of Judaism. The three parts are Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Torah refers to the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, comprising Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Nevi'im means prophets, and includes both the historical books covering the period of the judges and kings, and the writings of the great prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And Ketuvim means writings, and includes wisdom literature, poetry, and narrative books, including Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Ruth, and the Song of Songs. Christians will recognize much of this material as what they call the Old Testament, though that framing carries theological implications that Jewish tradition does not accept. For Jews, this is not a preliminary or superseded text, but a living, complete, and infinitely interpretable revelation. The word Torah itself carries layers of meaning. In its narrowest sense, it refers to those five books of Moses. In a broader sense, it refers to the entire body of Jewish religious teaching and law. And for many traditional Jewish communities, Torah is not merely ancient literature, but the actual Word of God, eternal, perfect, and containing within itself infinite meaning that each generation is responsible for drawing out through study and interpretation. This brings us to one of the most distinctive and intellectually remarkable features of Judaism, the tradition of rabbinic interpretation. After the destruction of the Second Temple by Rome in 70 CE, another devastating historical rupture, the rabbis, the scholar teachers who emerged as the new religious leaders of the Jewish community, undertook a systematic effort to translate a temple-based, sacrifice-centered religion into something that could survive without a temple, in diaspora, across multiple cultures and centuries. The result was the Talmud. The Talmud is a sprawling, multi-layered, profoundly unusual document. It begins with the Mishnah, a compilation of oral legal teachings and discussions attributed to rabbis living roughly from 200 BCE to 200 CE, edited and redacted around 200 CE by Rabbi Judah the Prince. The Mishnah covers virtually every area of human life: agricultural law, Shabbat observance, marriage and divorce, civil disputes, temple rituals, dietary regulations, and much more. But the Talmud does not stop there. Around the Mishnah grows the Gemara, a vast record of rabbinic discussion and debate about the Mishnah, compiled in two versions, the Jerusalem Talmud, completed around the 4th or 5th century CE, and the Babylonian Talmud, generally considered the more authoritative of the two, completed around the 6th or 7th century CE. The Babylonian Talmud alone runs to millions of words. It is not a systematic theology or a single argument. It is a conversation, and crucially, it preserves the minority opinions alongside the majority rulings, as if to say that the dissenting voice is never entirely wrong, that truth is always larger than any single position. What does Judaism believe? This is a question that requires some caution, because Judaism has historically been more focused on practice, what you do, than on systematically defined creed, what you must believe. Unlike some other religious traditions, Judaism does not have a single universally binding statement of faith that all Jews are required to accept. Medieval philosopher Moses Maimonides, writing in the 12th century, did articulate 13 principles of faith that became influential and are incorporated into some Jewish liturgy, but even these principles have been debated and contested within the tradition. That said, certain theological commitments run deep across virtually all forms of Judaism. Central among them is monotheism, the belief in one God who is the creator of the universe, the source of all being, and the ground of all morality. This is expressed most famously in the Shema, arguably the most important statement in Jewish liturgy. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. The Shema is recited in morning and evening prayers, at significant moments of life, and traditionally as a final utterance before death. It is not merely a proposition about the number of gods. In its full theological context, it is an affirmation of the ultimate unity, uniqueness, and incomparability of the divine. Closely connected to monotheism is the concept of covenant, the Brit in Hebrew, which is arguably the organizing principle of the entire Jewish theological worldview. God has entered into a special relationship with the Jewish people, not because they are inherently superior to others, but through an act of divine choice and grace, whose purpose the tradition has endlessly debated. The covenant creates obligations in both directions. God commits to the people, and the people commit to God through the observance of the commandments, the mitzvot. Traditional Judaism counts 613 mitzvot in the Torah, 248 positive commandments, things you must do, and 365 negative commandments, things you must not do. These range from the explicitly ethical and interpersonal to the ritual and ceremonial, and the tradition does not, in principle, rank them. All are expressions of the same covenantal relationship. The concept of mitzvot leads naturally to the concept of halacha, Jewish law. Halacha, literally meaning the path or the way, is the body of law that governs traditional Jewish life. It is not a static code, but a living, evolving jurisprudence developed through centuries of rabbinic responsa, legal codes, and community practice. The most important legal code in post-Talmudic Judaism is the Shulchan Aruch, compiled by Joseph Caro in the 16th century, which remains a central reference point for traditional Jewish legal practice, though different communities apply it with different degrees of strictness and with their own local glosses and customs. Let us turn now to practice, because in Judaism, life as it is actually lived day to day is inseparable from the religious tradition. And few practices are more central, more beloved, or more theologically rich than Shabbat, the Sabbath. Shabbat begins at sundown on Friday evening and ends when three stars are visible in the night sky on Saturday. This timing is rooted in the creation narrative in Genesis, where God rests on the seventh day, and in the commandment in Exodus to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. For the 25 hours of Shabbat, observant Jews set aside their weekday lives. Traditional halacha prohibits 39 categories of labor, derived through rabbinic interpretation from the kinds of work done to build the ancient tabernacle, including writing, cooking, lighting fire, and carrying objects in public spaces. But what is prohibited is only half the story. What Shabbat creates is perhaps more important, a time of prayer, family, study, rest, and pleasure that is qualitatively different from the rest of the week. The table is set with a white cloth, two braided loaves of bread called challah, and candles that are lit by women in traditional households or by any family member in many modern ones, with a blessing that brings Shabbat in. Kiddush, a sanctification blessing recited over wine, follows, a festive meal, singing, and conversation. Synagogue services on Friday evening and Saturday morning, an unhurried afternoon of rest and perhaps study, and at the end, the Havdalah ceremony, a beautiful, multi-sensory ritual involving a braided candle, wine, and spices, marking the boundary between the sacred time of Shabbat and the ordinary week. The rhythms of the Jewish year are structured around a cycle of holidays that weave together agricultural origins, historical memory, and theological meaning. Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, together constitute the High Holy Days, known in Hebrew as the Yamim Noraim, the Days of Awe. Rosh Hashanah, observed in the autumn, is marked by the sounding of the shofar, a ram's horn, whose raw, urgent cry calls the community to reflection and renewal. Liturgically, Rosh Hashanah is understood as the day of divine judgment, when human beings are inscribed in the Book of Life for the coming year. Yom Kippur, 10 days later, is the culmination, a full day of fasting, prayer, confession, and repentance, focused on atonement and reconciliation with God and with other human beings. The Yom Kippur liturgy is extraordinarily powerful, and even many Jews who do not observe very much of the religious calendar attend synagogue on Yom Kippur, It has a hold on Jewish communal identity that transcends individual levels of observance. Passover, Pesach in Hebrew, is perhaps the most widely observed Jewish holiday globally. Celebrated each spring, it commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. The central ritual is the Seder, a structured ritual meal conducted at home according to the Haggadah, a text that tells the Exodus story and embeds it in prayer, song, symbolic foods, and lively discussion. The Seder table holds foods that are profoundly mnemonic. Bitter herbs to recall the bitterness of slavery, karaset, a sweet paste of fruit and nuts, to represent the mortar used by enslaved laborers, and matzah, the flat unleavened bread that commemorates the haste of the departure from Egypt when there was no time for bread to rise. The instruction given in the Haggadah is striking. Each person at the Seder is commanded to see themselves as personally having gone out from Egypt. Memory here is not merely historical recollection, but a kind of existential participation. The Exodus is always present tense. Other major holidays include Sukkot, a harvest festival during which families build temporary outdoor booths and eat meals in them for a week, a practice rich with both agricultural and theological meaning. Shavuot, which commemorates the giving of the Torah at Sinai and is observed with study in dairy foods. Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, which commemorates the Maccabean rededication of the temple in the 2nd century BCE and is celebrated with the lighting of a 9-branched menorah, and Purim, a joyful holiday commemorating the story in the Book of Esther, celebrated with costume, feasting, and the reading of the Megillah, the scroll of Esther. Life cycle rituals are also central to Jewish community life. A male infant is circumcised on the 8th day of life in a ceremony called a Brit Milah, the covenant of circumcision, in direct continuation of the practice traced back to Abraham. At age 13 for boys and 12 or 13 for girls, a young person marks their coming of age through a bar or bat mitzvah ceremony, typically involving reading publicly from the Torah scroll in the synagogue. Marriage is conducted under a chuppah, a wedding canopy symbolizing the new home being created, and the ceremony involves the reading of the ketubah, a marriage contract that specifies the husband's obligations to his wife. Death and mourning practices are extensive and thoughtfully designed. Burial takes place quickly, ideally within 24 hours. A period of intense mourning called Shiva lasts 7 days during which the community comes to comfort the bereaved, and for a year after a parent's death, a mourner recites the Kaddish prayer. Interestingly, a prayer that does not mention death at all, but is a doxology praising God, understood as an act of faith in the face of loss. Dietary laws, kashrut, form another major domain of traditional Jewish practice. The basic categories are well known: the separation of meat and dairy, the prohibition on pork and shellfish, and the requirement that meat be slaughtered in a specific way. But the full system of kashrut is considerably more detailed, governing everything from the inspection of vegetables for insects to the required waiting times between eating meat and dairy. For traditional Jews, kashrut is not primarily about health or hygiene. Those explanations, while popular, are largely rejected by religious authorities, but about sanctifying eating as a religious act, maintaining the distinctiveness of the community, and participating in the system of mitzvot. For many contemporary Jews, kashrut represents a spectrum of practice. Some keep strictly kosher in every detail, some maintain selective practices such as avoiding pork, some observe it only symbolically, and some do not observe it at all. This brings us to one of the most important things to understand about Judaism: its extraordinary internal diversity. Judaism is not one thing. It is a family of traditions, communities, and theologies that share core texts and historical memory, but differ significantly in practice, theology, and culture. The most widely discussed division in contemporary Jewish life is the denominational one, which emerged primarily in the context of European and American modernity. In the 19th century, as Enlightenment ideas challenged traditional authority, and as Jews were increasingly offered citizenship and integration in European societies, the question arose with urgency: how should Judaism respond to modernity? The answers varied dramatically. Reform Judaism, emerging first in Germany in the early 19th century, embraced modernity most fully. Reform thinkers argued that Jewish law was historically conditioned and that the eternal core of Judaism was its ethical monotheism, the belief in one God and the commitment to justice and human dignity. Reform communities adapted the liturgy, conducted services in vernacular languages, adopted organ music, removed the traditional separation of men and women in the synagogue, and regarded individual conscience as the primary guide to practice. Today, Reform or Liberal Judaism is the largest denomination in the United States and has significant communities worldwide. Orthodox Judaism, though it defined itself partly in reaction to Reform, represents a continuation of the traditional approach to halacha. Orthodox communities hold that the Torah was given by God to Moses at Sinai and is therefore binding in its entirety, and that the rabbinic elaboration of halacha is authoritative and not subject to revision on the grounds of modernity or convenience. Within Orthodoxy, there is itself considerable diversity, from modern Orthodox communities that combine traditional observance with full engagement in secular professional life, to Haredi or ultra-Orthodox communities that maintain a more insular relationship with the surrounding culture, to Hasidic communities, which we will come to shortly. Conservative Judaism, which emerged in the United States in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, sought a middle path, maintaining the binding authority of halacha while arguing that halacha had always evolved in response to historical circumstances and that such evolution could continue in an organized, scholarly fashion. Conservative Judaism has been particularly significant in the American Jewish community, though it has experienced significant membership shifts in recent decades. Reconstructionist Judaism, founded by Mordecai Kaplan in the mid-20th century, offers a distinctly non-supernatural theology, understanding God not as a personal being who issues commands, but as the power or process within reality that makes for human flourishing. Reconstructionism views Judaism as an evolving religious civilization and emphasizes democratic community governance. Beyond denominational lines, Jewish communities are also distinguished by their ethnocultural heritage. Ashkenazi Jews are those whose ancestors lived in medieval and early modern Northern and Eastern Europe, France, Germany, Poland, Russia, and surrounding regions. Ashkenazi culture developed its own distinctive liturgical melodies, culinary traditions, Yiddish language, and intellectual styles, including the famous tradition of Talmudic pilpul, a sharp, dialectical mode of analysis. The vast majority of Holocaust victims were Ashkenazi Jews, and the Holocaust, the Shoah, the systematic genocide of 6 million Jews by Nazi Germany and its collaborators, is the defining catastrophe of modern Jewish history, a wound that continues to shape Jewish theology, identity, and politics in ways that are still being reckoned with. Sephardic Jews trace their heritage to the Iberian Peninsula, Spain, and Portugal, where, before 1492, Jewish communities flourished for centuries under both Christian and Muslim rule, producing extraordinary scholars, philosophers, and poets. The expulsion of Jews from Spain in 1492 was another shattering historical moment, scattering Sephardic communities across the Ottoman Empire, North Africa, the Netherlands, and beyond. Sephardic communities developed their own liturgical traditions, legal customs, and the Ladino language, a Judeo-Spanish vernacular rich with historical memory. Mizrahi Jews, the word means Eastern, are those whose communities were rooted in the Middle East and North Africa, including Iraq, Yemen, Iran, Morocco, and Egypt. These communities predate the Arab-Islamic conquests and represent some of the oldest continuous Jewish settlements in the world. The Jewish community of Babylon, modern Iraq, was one of the most important in the world for over a millennium, producing the Babylonian Talmud itself. After the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 and the ensuing Arab-Israeli conflicts, the vast majority of Jewish communities in Arab countries emigrated, many to Israel, where Mizrahi Jews now constitute a significant portion of the population. Mizrahi communities have their own liturgical traditions, religious authorities, and rich musical and culinary cultures that are increasingly recognized and celebrated within world Jewry. There are also Ethiopian Jews, known as Beta Israel or Falasha, whose ancient community maintained a form of Judaism based on the Hebrew Bible without the Talmud, and who immigrated to Israel primarily in the 1980s and 1990s. There are Yemenite Jews with their ancient and distinctive traditions. There are Indian Jewish communities, including the B'nai Israel and the Cochin Jews. And there are, today, growing Jewish communities in East Africa, South America, and elsewhere, representing new expressions of a tradition's ongoing global spread. Within traditional Judaism, Hasidism deserves particular attention as one of the most significant religious movements in Jewish history. Emerging in the 18th century in the regions of Poland and Ukraine, founded by a charismatic teacher known as the Baal Shem Tov, the Master of the Good Name, Hasidism was in part a reaction against a religious culture that seemed to many ordinary Jews too focused on dry legalistic scholarship and inaccessible to the unlearned. Hasidism emphasized the presence of God in all things, the importance of joy and spiritual fervor in worship, the power of prayer as an ecstatic connection with the divine, and the central role of the tzaddik, the righteous leader, the Rebbe, as a spiritual guide who could elevate his followers to the divine presence. Hasidic communities developed distinctive styles of prayer, music, storytelling, and communal life, organized around dynasties named for the towns where their founders' courts were established: Chabad Lubavitch, Satmar, Breslov, Ger, and many others. Hasidic thought produced a rich mystical theology drawing heavily on Kabbalah, the Jewish mystical tradition, and generated a body of storytelling and teaching that is both theologically sophisticated and accessibly human. Kabbalah itself, the Jewish mystical tradition, deserves mention as a major strand within Judaism's intellectual and spiritual history. Kabbalistic texts, especially the Zohar, compiled in the 13th century and attributed in the tradition to the 2nd century sage Shimon bar Yochai, offer an esoteric account of divinity as a structured system of 10 emanations called the Sephirot, through which the infinite, unknowable God relates to creation. Kabbalistic thought has influenced Jewish prayer, ritual, and theology far beyond explicitly mystical circles, and it has also attracted enormous popular interest outside Judaism in recent decades, often in forms quite distant from the original tradition. The relationship between Judaism and the land of Israel and the modern state of Israel is one of the most complex and contested dimensions of contemporary Jewish life. The land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, occupies a unique place in Jewish theology and memory. Jerusalem is the city of the temple, the direction toward which Jews pray, the site of longing expressed in countless prayers and rituals. The Passover Seder ends with the words, "Next year in Jerusalem." This longing was always theological as well as geographical. The Zionist movement, which emerged in the late 19th century, largely as a secular political response to European antisemitism, sought to translate this theological attachment into a modern national project. Scholars note that early Zionism was largely non-religious in character. Its founders, including Theodor Herzl, were primarily motivated by political rather than religious concerns. The creation of the State of Israel in 1948 has been understood in enormously varied ways within the Jewish world, by many religious Zionists as the beginning of divine redemption, by secular Zionists as the fulfillment of a national liberation project, by anti-Zionist Haredi communities as a theologically problematic human preemption of the Messianic era, and by various liberal Jewish voices as raising complex moral and political questions regarding Palestinian rights and the ethics of statehood. These debates are genuine and ongoing within the Jewish community itself, and any fair treatment of Judaism must acknowledge that Jewish opinion on Israel and Zionism is far from monolithic. Contemporary Judaism also grapples with a set of questions that are both ancient in their roots and distinctly modern in their form. Who is a Jew? The traditional halakhic definition is anyone born of a Jewish mother or converted according to rabbinic law, a matrilineal descent standard that scholars trace to the Mishnaic period and link to various historical contexts. Reform and Reconstructionist Judaism in North America have extended recognition to patrilineal descent as well, which has created genuine interdenominational friction about communal boundaries. Questions of conversion: who has the authority to convert, what standards apply, whose conversions are recognized by whom, are live and sometimes contentious issues in contemporary Jewish institutional life. The role of women in Jewish religious life has been transformed dramatically over the past century. Traditional halacha assigns men and women distinct religious roles, exempting women from time-bound positive commandments and reserving the rabbinate and public prayer leadership for men. Beginning in the mid-20th century, the liberal denominations moved progressively toward full gender equality in religious life, ordaining women as rabbis. The first female rabbi ordained in the Reform movement was Sally Priesand in 1972, and later as cantors and in other leadership roles. Orthodoxy has remained committed to traditional gender roles in ritual, though within modern Orthodox circles, there has been significant debate about expanding women's roles in learning and community leadership within the framework of halacha. The status of LGBTQ Jews is another area of significant contemporary discussion and divergence. The liberal denominations have moved substantially toward full inclusion, with the Reform, Conservative, and Reconstructionist movements all celebrating same-sex marriages and ordaining openly gay rabbis. Traditional Orthodoxy maintains prohibitions rooted in biblical and rabbinic law, though there is a range of pastoral approaches to LGBTQ individuals within Orthodox communities. These are genuine debates within Jewish communities, reflecting different commitments about the nature of revelation, the authority of tradition, and the values of inclusion and dignity. Antisemitism, hatred and discrimination directed at Jews, is not merely a historical problem, but a contemporary one, and scholars of religion and Jewish studies increasingly recognize that understanding Judaism requires understanding the history of antisemitism and its ongoing effects. From the ancient world through the medieval period, from early modern blood libels and expulsions, through the catastrophic genocide of the 20th century, the Jewish experience has been shaped profoundly by the hostility of surrounding societies. This history is not incidental to Jewish religious life. It is part of the fabric of Jewish theology and memory, embedded in the liturgy, the holidays, and the communal consciousness. How do scholars approach the study of Judaism? The academic study of Judaism, known in its German origin form as Wissenschaft des Judentums, the science of Judaism, has been going on since the 19th century. Scholars bring to it the full range of methods available in religious studies and related disciplines: historical critical analysis of texts, archaeology, sociology, anthropology, philosophy, literary criticism, and comparative religion. The relationship between academic Jewish studies and the Jewish community is sometimes comfortable and sometimes tense, as scholarly conclusions about the historical composition of biblical texts, the human origins of traditions, or the sociology of Jewish practice can sit uncomfortably with religious convictions about divine revelation and eternal truth. Many scholars of Judaism are themselves Jewish, which raises interesting methodological questions about insider perspectives and communal commitments. Many are not, which raises its own questions about outsider understandings and potential blind spots. The field continues to develop, with increasing attention to the diversity of Jewish experience across different cultural contexts. The recovery of neglected voices, particularly women and non-elite communities, and the integration of new theoretical frameworks. What strikes anyone who spends time with Judaism is the extraordinary vitality of its intellectual and interpretive culture. The Talmud is organized as a conversation, and Jews have kept that conversation going for millennia, adding voices, disputing predecessors, discovering new meanings in ancient texts. There is a story, not a verified historical account, but a teaching story, a midrash, about a second-century rabbi named Akiva, who is imagined by Moses visiting his classroom after centuries and being unable to follow the halachic arguments being made. Moses is distressed at this until a student asks where a particular ruling comes from, and Akiva answers, "It is a law given to Moses at Sinai." Moses is comforted. The story captures something real about how the tradition understands itself. Continuous, authoritative, and yet always growing, always responsive to new questions and new circumstances, always the same Sinai revelation and yet always new. Judaism also places the sanctity of human life, what is called pikuach nefesh, the saving of a life, at or near the very top of its hierarchy of values. The principle that saving a single life is equivalent to saving an entire world, and that destroying a single life is equivalent to destroying an entire world, is among the most quoted and morally influential ideas in the Jewish tradition. It stands at the heart of Jewish medical ethics, which has developed a rich body of responsa literature addressing questions from organ transplantation to end-of-life care. The Jewish idea of tikkun olam, repair of the world, has become particularly influential in contemporary discourse, especially in liberal Jewish communities and far beyond. Rooted in Kabbalistic theology and developed through various strands of Jewish social thought, Tikkun Olam, in its popular form, expresses the conviction that Jews, and by extension, all human beings, are called to be active partners with the divine in repairing what is broken in the world, working for justice, alleviating suffering, and taking responsibility for the human community. Scholars note that the term has been applied in various ways across different historical periods, and that its contemporary usage is significantly different from its Kabbalistic origins. But as an expression of a deep ethical impulse within Judaism, it resonates widely. As we come toward the close of this episode, it is worth pausing to appreciate just how remarkable the continuity of this tradition is. A religious community that traces its origins to the Bronze Age Middle East is still praying, arguing, celebrating, mourning, studying, and disagreeing in the 21st century, in New York and Jerusalem and Buenos Aires and London and Mumbai and Nairobi. The Hebrew language, ancient in its roots, has been revived as a living vernacular spoken by millions of people in a modern state. The same texts that shaped the lives of Babylonian Jews in the 6th century BCE shape the lives of their descendants, biological and spiritual, today. The Passover Seder has been recited in roughly the same form for over 2,000 years, from Roman Palestine to medieval Spain to the Warsaw Ghetto to suburban dining rooms tonight. Something in this tradition has an extraordinary power to hold community, to transmit meaning, to renew itself in the face of destruction, and to carry its adherents through the hardest experiences a people can endure. Judaism defies easy summary precisely because it is so alive, so full of argument, diversity, creativity, and disagreement. There is a saying, variously attributed, that where you have two Jews, you have three opinions. Far from being a problem, many within the tradition regard this as a strength, the willingness to keep the questions open, to honor the minority opinion, to resist the temptation of easy certainty. The tradition itself, in one of its most beloved phrases, describes the ongoing debates between the ancient schools of Shammai and Hillel as Elu Velu Divrei Elohim Shayim, both these and these are words of the living God. Multiple truths, held in tension, sustained by a shared commitment to the conversation itself. That, perhaps, is as good a place as any to close. Judaism is a tradition that has been asking the hardest questions about God, about justice, about suffering, about memory, about what we owe each other and what the divine asks of us for 4,000 years, and it has never quite finished asking them. It has survived the destruction of two temples, exile, persecution, genocide, modernity, and the relentless pressure of assimilation, and it continues, in its remarkable diversity, to be a living presence in the world. Thank you for spending this time exploring Judaism with us. We hope this episode has offered you a richer sense of a tradition that has shaped and continues to shape so much of human civilization, and that you carry away from it some of the curiosity and respect that this ancient vital conversation deserves. From IntelliJix, this has been IntelliJix World Religions.